Please turn to Mark 1, verses 40 through 45. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he, Christ, strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. In this wonderful account of the healing of this man with leprosy, we're given a glimpse into the heart of our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. We are allowed to see his compassion and his power on display. The Bible calls this man a leper. It was a highly infectious disease that was incurable in biblical times. No other disease was as feared as leprosy. It affected the whole body. It began with fatigue, pain in the joints, scaly spots would develop covering the body, then decomposition would begin. The body would begin to rot, a piece at a time. The stench of the flesh decomposing would follow the leper all around. The nervous system would be attacked. If he stepped on something, he wouldn't know he stepped on something. If he bumped into something, he wouldn't know what had happened to him. The nervous system attacked, compromising the body's ability to feel pain. And the sufferer usually died an horrific death. One of the worst aspects, though, of leprosy was the social isolation that it brought. And it's quite apropos in this time of the coronavirus that we come to our message in Mark, which was planned months and months ago. Leprosy brought with it social isolation. The Levitical law was very clear about leprosy. Turn to Leviticus 13, and keep your finger there because we'll be going back there quite a bit today. Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. Now put yourself in this man's place. Especially now, everybody's dealing with this issue of isolation. Leviticus 13, 45 and 46. "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. Dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Isolation. He's in the community one day, he's with his wife, his children, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, grandparents. Now, alone, banished, no longer allowed to have communion with other people. You got people not right now, they're listening to this because they're isolated. Imagine the leper, totally isolated. He had to leave his family. He couldn't kiss his wife goodbye. Waved to her. Waved to his children. You talk about heartbroken. The leper. He could no longer touch his wife. He would never know what it was like to touch his wife, touch his children. No longer could he touch anyone. Most families had a funeral service and regarded the afflicted person as dead. This man that Christ ministered to in our text was in dire straits. Let us see, though, what this man had to cry out. As we've seen in the text, unclean, unclean. I see people now, you cough online and people drop their groceries and run out the door. Leprosy. The leper had to yell, unclean, unclean. And as he walked by, the people would pick up rocks and throw them at him. No compassion, no tenderness. The Levitical law said, outside of the city, you're unclean. You shall not dwell among us any longer. Unclean. But do we not see sin in our text? In leprosy. Let us see how leprosy pictures sin. Leprosy is deeper than the skin. Look at Leviticus 3. Leviticus 13, verse 2. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine it and pronounce him unclean. The leprosy was below the body. It was under the skin. Our Lord taught us about that in Matthew 15. Leprosy is the picture of sin. And every man, woman, and child that has ever been born has suffered from this leprosy. Christ spoke of the leprosy from within. Look at Matthew 15, but keep your fingers in Leviticus 13, because as I said, we're going to go back there a few times. Matthew 15, 18 and 19. I showed you how leprosy was under the skin. That's exactly what Christ said about sin. Matthew 15, 18 and 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. Even as leprosy was under the skin, every one of us are born in sin. The world is fleeing right now, isolating itself, getting away from the coronavirus. And Christ has told each and every one of us to get away from the leprosy virus. The leprosy virus of sin that each and every one of us are born with. People aren't sinners because they sin. People sin because they're sinners. Leprosy, if you notice, it starts out small and then it spreads. Look at Leviticus 13, verses 7 and 8. Starts out small. 13, 7 and 8. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin, after he has been seen by the priest, was cleansed, and he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Right now, the people are talking about, stop the spread, stop the spread. And God Almighty is crying out to the world, stop the spread. Stop the spread of the virus, sin. We're all affected by sin. We need to be delivered from sin. Leprosy starts out small. Sin starts out small. A little kiss, then a touch on the arm. And then we know where it goes from there. A little sin, just like a little leprosy, spreads. In 2 Samuel 11, you have David. Glorious victories. And then a little sin. He should have been out to war. The kings went out to war in that time of year, but he stayed home and he saw Bathsheba and she looked good. And the sin turned into fornication and turned into adultery and turned in eventually to murder. Leprosy starts off small. Sin starts off small. You start smoking a joint and you wind up with a needle in your arm. You start off with a little kiss and then you wind up pregnant with 9 kids. And with sexual diseases and any other thing. A little sin. A little leprosy. Sin poisons your life, your entire life, your family, your friends. It ruins everything that it touches in your life. And just like leprosy drove the man away from his family and his friends, that's exactly what sin does. It starts off with a little sin as a child, and then it just increases and it increases. How many people today, because of this sin, it has destroyed relationships with your family, with your friends. For all intents and purposes, you're dwelling outside of the city. You're unclean. You're leprous. Leprosy destroys. Sin destroys. Poisons your life. Ruins everything. David, for a few hours of pleasure with another man's wife, and then the leprosy of sin spreads. Devastation. Calamity. For the rest of his life. A little sin. A little leprosy. Notice how leprosy isolates. It destines things also for the fire. Look at Leviticus 13, verse 52. He shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof, in wool or in linen, or anything of leather, for it is an active leprosy. The garment shall be burnt in the fire. You talk about a picture of hell. The garment that men and women try to clothe themselves with, their self-righteousness, that Isaiah said that all of your works are as filthy rags. We try to cover our leprosy up with good works. They'll be tossed into the fire. Those who haven't been healed from their leprosy, they will go into the fire. Leprosy isolates, destines for the fire. What brought this leprous man in our text, though? To Jesus Christ. Wasn't nothing but the free grace of God. Turn back to Mark 1. What brought this man to Christ in our text? The Spirit of God had granted faith to this man. The man knows his condition. Unfortunately, many of us don't know our condition outside of Christ. The man knew his condition, and he was willing to go wherever and however to get to Christ. Realize this, for him to come near Christ, the people had been throwing stones at him. The man risked getting stoned. He risked humiliation, death, to get to the Lord. He saw his condition and he knew he had no hope apart from Christ. And you today, do you see your condition? If you are outside of Christ, you may survive Corona. But will you survive the leprosy of sin? And the answer is no. For the wages of sin is death. Just like the angel of death came to Egypt, and only those with the blood on the doorpost lived. The angel of death passed over them. And so it is with every man, woman, and child. Only those who have the blood of Jesus Christ, the angel of death will pass them over on judgment day. This man risked it all. From some, he would have heard, "Don't try it. There's no hope for you. Don't get near him. You're supposed to be outside of the city. Jesus won't help you." So it is today. When you come today to Christ, Satan will say to you, "There's no hope for you. You're not worthy to come. He can't help you. There's no hope for you." And Satan does speak a half-truth to you by telling you you're not worthy. But Christ has something different to say to you today if you are listening. You that are here today hearing this message. If you realized, you finally came to the point that you realize that you are a sinner and that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Just as the leper came to Christ to be healed, today the message is going out. You leper, you have the leprosy of sin. Sin is your problem. It ain't corona. It ain't leprosy. It ain't tuberculosis, cancer, or any of the others. Your problem is sin. That's why people die. The wages of sin is death. When Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the world. And that virus, you're born with it. You're born with sin. John 6, though, tells us the good news. If you are despairing today and you say, "Oh, Bill, but there's no hope for me." Yes, there is hope. But you have to listen to what the authorities prescribe. And this was prescribed for sin. John 6, 37 to 39. If Satan would tell you there's no hope, there is hope. John 6, 37 to 39. "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast him out." I don't care how wicked you've been, or how supposedly righteous you think you are. Be you a Pharisee, a scribe, a woman caught in adultery, the tax collector, whatever your sin is, all that comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. You have no hope? There's your hope. Guaranteed by Jesus Christ. He will not cast you out. If you will come to him, he's not going to lose anything. And he will raise up all of those for whom he has died on the last day for eternal life. Even as the man in the text, Christ healed him of his leprosy, so Christ will heal you of your sin. For we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You and I are not worthy, even as the leper wasn't worthy. But notice what Mark 1:40 tells us. There was a man. Now look at his disposition as opposed to the proud Pharisee. Look at the leper, just like the tax collector. And if you would be saved today, this must be your disposition. Mark 1:40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him. He was begging him, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." "Not a doctor, I need a band-aid." And that's what most people try by their quote-unquote religion and their vows. You're dead in your sin and trespasses. You need a Savior to raise you from the dead. You don't need a band-aid. Notice what he says. He implores Christ. Notice the deity of Jesus Christ. Kneeling down to him. Those that would deny the deity of Jesus Christ. That accursed blasphemy that some would say. Kneeling down. You only kneel down before God Almighty. Imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, notice, if you are willing. We have a sovereign God, but we also have a compassionate God. That you simply come to him and simply ask him, if you're willing, Lord. The leper appeals to Christ's power. Notice what he says. First of all, if you're willing, you see the compassionate, how Christ is compassionate. And then notice, you can make me clean. This wasn't just some plain old carpenter that a leper is kneeling down in front of imploring him. He knew this is God in the flesh. You can make me clean. Have you ever come to Christ confessing your sin, repenting of your sin, and saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm damned to hell, I deserve it. But you can make me clean." You can make me clean. You cannot be clean until you come to the realization that you're dirty, that you're filthy. Your sin has defiled you and cast you out. What will you do with this Christ today? Notice in our text. Then Jesus moved with compassion. As I said, Christ is sovereign, but he's also compassionate and merciful and loving. Moved with compassion. Then Jesus moved with compassion. Notice, stretched out his hand and touched him. Stretched out his hand and touched him. Realize what? This man hadn't been touched after he had to leave his family. Here's Christ, reaches out and touches him. His family hadn't done it, his friends hadn't done it. Here's Christ, he touches the leper, and realize this. That was strictly forbidden by the Levitical law. Strictly forbidden. Christ touching a leper was forbidden. Imagine the man surprised, the people surprised. Christ touches them. You can't do that according to the Levitical law. The touch of Jesus Christ said, "I will be merciful to you. I will love you just like you are. I'm here to help you." Do you know that Christ? This compassionate Christ, this loving Christ, yes, sovereign, almighty. Obviously, he can deliver the man from leprosy. What was different about this touch? The leper could not transmit to Christ the corruption of his disease. Deity cannot be defiled. That's why he could touch him. You can't defile deity. Christ is divine. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He cannot be corrupted by the disease of men. Christ transmitted the deity, healing him. The power of the deity by healing him, the cleansing of the deity. And do you know that Christ is still touching lives today? And it makes no difference who you are or what you are or what you've done. And leprosy is leprosy, and it doesn't matter if you've got a little scale on your arm or if your feet are hanging off you, you lost your legs, you lost your arm, you lost whatever. Leprosy killed. Sin kills. Christ heals and touches a leper, and he makes him into a new creature. That's what the new birth is all about. That's what Christ was telling Nicodemus. Hey, aren't you a ruler of Jews? You're this religious guy, don't you know? Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It's the same today. Wherever you would see yourself, you must be born again. Turn back to Mark 1:43. Now for the sad part of the story. You're like, whoa, Bill, I thought that was the sad part. Not if you're a child of God, it's not. It's sad if you're not. But this is sad for the person that becomes the child of God. Look at verse 43 and 44 and 45. Let's look to the end. And he strictly warned them, Christ, and sent them away at once, said to them, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, that's the killer word. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and it came to him from every direction. The man the Lord blesses, and what does he do? He disobeys. And what would have been a great testimony went untold. Christ told them, no one but the priest. Man saved, first thing he disobeys the Lord. And is that not true with each and every one of us? We hear the message, we repent, we get saved, and then the Holy Spirit starts issuing commands to us, and we don't obey. The leper disobeyed the command, and as a result, Christ is forced to move his ministry into the country. When the Lord saves us, he saves us to live a life of obedience, brothers and sisters. And far too often that's left out of the message today. Imagine how grateful that leper should have been to Christ. Imagine the way his life was. Christ touches him, heals him, and then he disobeys Christ. Is that not exactly what we do? We become a child of God. The Holy Spirit says X, Y, and Z, and we do A, B, and C. And we forget where he took us from. We were damned to hell. We were isolated. We were outside the camp of God. We were on our way to hell. And Christ seated us in the heavenly places. And the Holy Spirit issues commands every single day to us. We have the law written on our heart now. The Holy Spirit day by day prompts you, convicts you, comforts you. And now will you obey him or not? Or will you be as the leper? When we disobey Christ, we not only damage our own testimony, we bring dishonor to the Lord. Realize this. This story is 2,000 years ago. And we're talking about the man's sin. David's sin, 2,000 years later. The question this: where does this message find you today? Are you like the leper before he was cleansed? Are you here today and you're not saved? You're still dead in your sins and trespasses? He's never made you alive? Will you come to Christ today to be touched by Christ today? There's hope for you. But maybe you don't realize you're a leper. Maybe you don't realize yet that you have sinned against the thrice holy God. And the wages of sin is death. And what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or her soul? Or maybe you're here today. You're listening today. Maybe like the leper, you have been cleansed. But there's areas of disobedience. Well, the good news is the Holy Spirit is empowering you to repent, to confess, and to forsake that sin. To bring glory to Him. If you've never been saved, come to Christ. And if you are saved, then if you're living in willful disobedience, repent of that sin today. Confess it and forsake it. Have you been cleansed? Are you reminded today of how much Christ has done for you? Because the Christian life is basically this. You know your guilt. The law convicts you. You're guilty as charged. You realize you're unclean. You come to the Savior. He shows you mercy and He shows you His grace. First, guilt comes in from the law. Then you realize, I'm guilty. What am I going to do about this? I'm going to flee to Christ. Then He sheds His grace upon you. And then as a result of a guilty person being saved by the grace of God, they now live a life of gratitude. Guilt, grace, and gratitude. And Father, I would pray that that would be true in each and every one of our lives. That we would be convicted by the law, be it the law of Moses or the law written on old stony hearts. And that as a result, we would realize that we're lepers, that we need to be cleansed. And that we would come to Christ for that cleansing. And then, Father, when we realize how gracious You've been to us, how merciful You've been to us, out of the depths of sin that You brought us, shall we not obey the command that Christ issues, even as Christ told that man, go to the priest? And Father, far too often, we do not obey. And I pray, Father, that You will grant us repentance and that we will live lives of gratitude in response to Your mercy and Your grace towards us. And I would ask, Father, that today would be the day of salvation for many throughout this world. That they would see that ultimately it's not the coronavirus that's the problem. It's the sin in our lives that is the problem. And we need to be cleansed by Jesus Christ and Christ alone.